Hey, I'm Scott. I am an American in Bangkok, and this is a podcast. I can't believe how much time has passed since my last podcast. I think it must have been sometime before I left for the United States, which has been 3 months ago or so. So, you know, I apologize, but then again, you know, I gotta say something. It's very, very easy to get burned out on doing videos and podcasts and, you know, answering messages from what most of the time the messages are from idiots, guys wanting to know why I feel the way I do about prostitutes, which, you know, usually they have it wrong. Guys wanting to ask questions that all they have to do is type the question into Google and they would be able to find out the answer, or just guys asking really idiotic questions. Now, a smaller percentage of those are from people who ask good, solid questions, maybe even questions that challenge me and that I don't know the answers to. So while that's not really an excuse for not doing the podcasts, it's part of the explanation. The other part is that I haven't really known what I wanted to talk about, and I haven't really felt like hearing myself talk. And you know, I hate to bring this up, but when you're not making a huge amount of money from something that takes a lot of your time up. If you love it, that's one thing. I don't make a huge amount of money from photography or videos or any of that. I love photography. I like to write. The thing is photography generally will make me much more money from, say, one photograph than a video will make. I don't know why I brought this up, but basically because, you know, when I don't see some kind of return for the work that I've been doing, I think, well, you know, maybe my time can be better served on something else. And I'll be honest, I don't particularly love making videos or podcasts for that matter, talking about things that I don't really feel the need to talk about. I make travel videos and then people don't, they don't really watch him all that much. I make videos about these knuckleheads, chowderheads. People like them, but I still don't make a huge amount of money. And by huge, you know, I'm talking about, you know, $200 a month. That's not huge at all. And that's a waste of my time most of the time. But what I do think is that sometimes some of the problem is myself. It's an organizational matter where what I do is I write and then maybe I get caught up writing and I just go, I'm not going to spend the rest of my day making videos because I've already spent 7 hours writing and I just don't feel like making videos. And then the next day comes and I start writing and I think, oh, well, I've got something I have to do today. Maybe it's I've got to go to my kid's school, and it's going to take me a few hours there, or maybe I need to go take photos of something, and that's the only day that that particular event takes place, or whatever it might be. So, you know, let's just leave it at that. You know, money for me is something that is important because if I make enough money, it allows me to do what I want to do. And it allows me to do things in the, continue to do things in the future. And the videos on YouTube and especially podcasts don't make a whole lot of money. Bottom line. Now, if it wasn't for my Patreon website, which is Patreon, patreon.com/Scott Mallon, if it wasn't for that site that provided me some extra money, I don't know that I would make any podcast or videos because the amount that let me put it to you this way, I make about not quite a third, what would that be, 50%? Maybe about 40%, 45% of what I made when I first started making videos. Now, I've got, when I first started making videos, I had 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers. And, you know, maybe it was because I was new on the, you know, on the YouTube. But now I have almost 12,000. I have something, I think I have like 11,400 or something like that. And I make, you know, far less than I used to make. I don't get it. Well, I do get it, actually, because it has to do with YouTube and their algorithms and the advertisers. And, you know, maybe I'm not somebody who is advertiser-friendly. I don't really know. I've tried to curb my swearing so that I would be more advertiser-friendly. That really hasn't done anything. And, in fact, people have said, we like seeing you travel sometimes. That's great. But the bottom, you know, we like seeing your daily vlogs, but man, we really want to see, you know, you go off on some of these guys, and we really want to see what happens, you know, and we want to hear you. And, you know, it's great that people want to hear what I have to say. I mean, I feel honored in a sense for that, but especially with podcasts, because a podcast isn't monetized like a YouTube video. So it's much harder to make money from my podcasts than it is from the YouTube videos. And, you know, video is the wave of the future, let's face it. TV is phased out. And, you know, with websites like Netflix and Hulu and all these other, like Twitch and what's the one? Snapchat and Periscope. And I think people are turning more into the kind of consumer that they will only watch what they want to watch. They don't want to have 100 channels and 98 of them are shitty channels that they don't even bother to ever watch. So they'd rather have 5 channels and that's it than, you know, or just a channel like Netflix, which is, I have Netflix here in Thailand. I don't have cable TV. Oop, I gotta hold on here. Okay. So let's see, where was I? You know, the whole thing with YouTube is that I think that at some point YouTube is going to either phase people who are smaller and who don't have the sort of channels that have a following that can earn advertisers a certain amount of money. They're just going to say, well, we don't offer – they're going to raise their standards for people who want to be monetized. I think that's probably what's going to happen. I could be wrong. I'm just guessing. But that's what I think is going to happen. Now, I didn't mean to get into that and blow, you know, 8 minutes of this podcast. But, you know, shit happens. The one thing I was there's a couple things I want to talk about. But the first thing I was going to talk about is I already said I have Netflix here in Thailand, which is great. That's enough for me between Netflix, YouTube, and I have a considerable library of videos that I've downloaded. And so I can pretty much watch a movie when I want to watch a movie. Maybe I haven't seen the movie in years, or maybe I download a bunch of movies or a new show and I haven't yet watched them. So I always have something to watch if I really want to watch something. You know, that's if usually when I do, it's at night when everything is mellowed out. It's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and I watch it in bed and fall asleep or whatever. But I did notice that the UFC has something called Fight Pass. UFC is Ultimate Fighting Championships, if you don't know what that is already. I don't know what rock you're living under. But anyway, they have this thing called Fight Pass, and I signed up for it. It's $9.99 a month. And the reason I signed up for it was because there was a couple of big fights in the last couple of weeks. One of them was, Josh Barnett against Andrei Arlovsky. Now, if you know anything about mixed martial arts, you know that those are two high-level fighters, extremely talented. Josh Barnett has been around forever. He's a mountain of a guy. The guy's huge. And he's extremely talented in grappling and jiu-jitsu. And he's a badass. And Arlovsky's a badass, too, from, I think he's from, what is he, from the Ukraine? Or Belarus. I think he's from Belarus. And he was a Sambo champion. It was a good fight. So, you know, I got the free subscription. You get like, I think you get 10 days or 2 weeks free. So I watched that. Then I watched the whole card. And then in the Fight Pass, they have every single UFC card that has ever taken place. And you can watch it, which is awesome. I mean, you want to watch a UFC? And you haven't seen, say, what's UFC 50? I don't know. Okay, well, I never watched that one. Boom, you go to the channel, you watch UFC. You want to watch The Ultimate Fighter, the TV show where they get a bunch of guys. They pick some guys who they think are talented enough to fight. They throw them in a house. They have to fight and to get into the house. And then they do battle. And then, you know, the guy who was the best at the particular weight moves on and gets a contract with the UFC. And there are a lot of good fighters have come out of that show, some of whom have become the UFC champions. And it's a great way to pass the time, especially if you're into fights. You know, like me, let me tell you, I followed boxing from the time I was as long as I can remember. I have followed boxing. I mean, I know guys that most people, they would have never heard of, you know, and some of my favorites are guys like Harry Greb, Mickey Walker, Stanley Ketchell, Jack Dempsey is one of my favorites. These are guys who I really, really like watching. Of course, they're from almost 100 years ago. Some of them are, I don't know, maybe what, 85 years ago, something like that. But they were good fighters, and they were just tough dudes. These are the kind of guys that fought like once a week or even twice a week. They went from town to town fighting so that they made a living, and then hopefully they would make it to the top. And these are the kind of fighters that I really like. And you know, I followed boxing all the way through the 80s and 90s. And when Tyson got beat, and I think boxing took such a huge hit, and it's just gone steadily downhill. I mean, you can make a case, oh, Oscar De La Hoya, yeah, Oscar De La Hoya. Listen, he was a pretty good fighter. But something was missing in him. He was a good fighter, pretty good fighter. He wasn't a great fighter. He's not in the same class as Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard. He just was not in the same class. And then you got Pacquiao. Now, he's one of the all-time greats, I'll admit that. But he's at the end of his career. He's pretty much done. Once he got knocked out by Marquez, knocked out cold, he's pretty much done. Okay, and he got beat by Bradley. You know, win or lose that fight, whatever you may think, he got beat. He got the loss. Okay, he's not the same fighter that he used to be. He never will be. And this is something I used to say to people, and I never knew it, but it also applies to life, is that if you're a fighter, you have such a limited shelf life that every second that goes by, you better be making good use of it. And the same goes for when you're for men and for women. But for men, you think about it. You know, you're 16, 17 years old, and you got some girlfriend, and you don't get along with her, and then you're like, well, I don't know, you know, I think I love her, and she loves me. And next thing you know, 5 years have gone by, and she's, you know, bothering you to marry her. She's saying, you better marry me, or I'm going to leave you. And you're like, whoa, okay. And then guess what? You get married, and you're married for 15, 20 years, and then something happens, and you get divorced. Right? I don't want to say you wasted all that time, but you wasted all that time. You could have been doing something else, because the thing is that once you hit, say, 45 or 50, most of the younger women with less baggage, they're not going to be with you, especially if they're in you're in a Western country. I mean, you know, let's say you're 53 years old like me. Now, you know, I'm not talking about me because, you know, while my wife and I, we don't always see eye to eye, we have a pretty good relationship. And, you know, I hope it stays that way. But let's say you're 50, 55, and you're recently divorced. You've been divorced for a year or two, and then you're in the United States. What are you going to get? You think you're going to get some 26-year-old woman who's single, and you think that that's going to happen? I mean, it might. It depends, especially if you got, you know, big dough, you got big cash. But generally, it's not going to happen. So, okay, you go to Asia, you travel around, you know, maybe you even hit the Ukraine or Russia or something. You're looking for a nice young girl. By the time you're 50 or 55, granted, they might, you know, love you for you. But let's face it. You know, they might love you because they know you're mellow. They know that young guys tend to have a wandering eye sometimes, and that you probably are set in your life. You're a lot more settled. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, don't think that, you know, when you're 21 and you see some girl and she's 19, oh, my God, we're in love. It must be love. This whole idea of love in that sense is I don't know what the word is. It's almost farcical. Because who made that up? When did the word love come into play? I'd really like to know when it was invented and how it was applied in the manner that it's used nowadays. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, well, you know, in the United States, a lot of girls will sleep with you, and then they sleep with you, and they feel like, you know, well, I slept with you, so now we're boyfriend and girlfriend. I think it's less and less now because I think they have more freedom to do what they want and they don't worry about it. But let's face it, that's happened in the past for sure, where women are like, oh, well, you know, I'm not a whore. I only slept with you because I really, really like you. And they don't even know you. You know, I mean, come on. Get real, you know. So I don't know really how this changed from talking about UFC. But the fight pass, you know, I'm not making any money from this or anything. I don't get a commission or a cut. It's worth the $10 a month. If you're in Thailand, that's, you know, 340 baht a month, something like that. It's definitely worth it. You can go back and watch old Pride fights. You can watch, the WEC fights. You can watch, I watched a Glory fight. Glory is the kickboxing. And I believe that Ramon Decker's stepfather has a hand in that organization. I don't know. And it's very, very good. And it's definitely worth watching. It's a good, they put on good shows. So there's a lot to see for your $10. So for $10, you can get that. Now we've got Netflix, and that's $10 a month. That's 350 baht. It's about $10. So for $20 a month, we have all the movies and all the TV shows that Netflix provides. And we have the Ultimate Fighting channel. And I have all my movies and documentaries and TV shows that I like to watch. I have them on disc. So that's plenty. But, you know, if I were a fight fan, if you were a fight fan, I would definitely go to the website. So I think it's UFC.tv and give it a shot. You know, I mean, at least try it for the free trial. You know, that's a pretty good deal. And do it when there's a big fight coming up. So, and, you know, I watched that fight, and Josh Barnett actually, what did he do? I think he choked him out. I forget. He made him tap. And then the other fight that I was watching, that I wanted to watch. There were two fights the next week that I wanted to watch. Actually, one was the CM Punk fight against, what's his name? Mickey Gall. That's the guy's name. who I never heard of before this show. But let me tell you, I saw little clips of CM Punk hitting the bag. And I'm 53 years old, and I'm out of shape. And once in a while, I'll hit the bag. And I got to say that if CM Punk got in the ring with me, and I got myself into halfway decent shape, I would beat his ass. Because he could not, at least standing up. I don't know how good he is on the ground, but he didn't seem very good. But, you know, you look at somebody hitting the bag, and you can almost always tell whether they have any skills or not. And one thing that I know is, while I may not be the greatest fighter or anything like that, and I'm not claiming to be, if I throw punches, I've thrown punches thousands and thousands and thousands of times over the years. I have experience. And even now, every once in a while, I'll catch myself doing a little shadow boxing or whatever, or I'll hit the bag. And I think that that's what, I think, you know, listen, the guy has a lot of heart. He got in the ring. He probably knew, I'm going to get the shit kicked out of me, but I'm going to give it a go. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe with the training, I might even have a shot. That's probably his mindset. So he's got balls. Don't ever call a guy a pussy. He had balls. He just hadn't had time to develop the skill. And, you know, Duke Rufus is a very knowledgeable guy. He's been around for years and years, and so is his brother. You know, he made a good decision to go there to the camp and everything. He did everything he could. But it's just not enough time, and he basically got his ass kicked. And, you know, I don't know. I don't see the big deal about him. I don't see him ever fighting and making any waves. He's 37 years old. I mean, give me a break. You're 37 years old and you're just starting out in the world of mixed martial arts. You are probably not going to make a mark on the sport. The chances are extremely slim. So, you know, that's something. And then the next fight, I think, was Travis Brown and Fabricio Werdum, who I thought was, I thought Travis Brown might give him a good go this time. But let me tell you, Travis Brown didn't even, if you saw the fight, he did not even look like he wanted to be in the ring. He just looked like he really felt out of sorts. And maybe it was because of his finger. He had this finger injury where he kind of just stopped fighting and told the referee something about his finger. And then the referee broke it up and he shouldn't have. And, you know, Werdum wanted to go after him. But Travis Brown just did not look like the sort of guy who was there to bash Fabricio Werdum. He did not look like he wanted to win. He just looked like he was kind of there. And I don't know what the problem was, but I wish I would have seen more out of him, you know. And then the last fight was Stipe Miocic versus Alistair Overeem. And the great thing about Overeem is that he can punch and he can kick. He's got great stand-up. He's a fantastic fighter. The bad thing about him is that he has grown into being a heavyweight. You know, he's packed on quite a few pounds, and he's brought that same chin, the chin from the lower weight division, up to the heavier weight division. And when he gets clipped, he just kind of falls apart. And he knocked, what's his name, Miocic, he knocked him flat on his ass and hurt him a couple of times and had him in this headlock, and for some reason, he could not lock it in. He couldn't cinch it. And I thought the fight was just about over, and sure enough, Miocic got out. And then I think that just kind of broke Alistair Overeem's spirit or something. I don't know. It made him think, wow, this guy got out of this. What am I going to do now? I'm a little bit tired. And then before you know it, bam, he got nailed, he got clipped, he got put down. And once he went, he basically went down, he kind of tripped. Fell over his own feet, sort of. And once he went down, man, he got bashed. I mean, that was a hard knockout. Anytime a guy's head is on the ground and you punch him square in the face three times as hard as you can, and you're a guy like Miocic who can bang, who's got a lot of power in his punches, that's brutality. and Overeem was out, man. He was out. And then later on, he tried to say that that you know the guy Miocic had tapped out, and you know who knows what the deal was with that, because he could have still been in La La Land, but I didn't see it. And you know, and I'm all for, if a guy is actually tapped out or a guy has given up, whether it's in boxing or whatever it is, if the guy gives up, then you don't just give him the second chance. The fight's over. Once you say, you know, I give up, that's it. You're done. You know? So now there's something else, and this is actually what I really had wanted to talk about. And it is our friend, the nastiest feminist that I think I've ever heard of, the actress, if you can call her that, Lena Dunham. She's at it again. And, you know, there's a guy that I think is just like her. Although, you know, he's not a feminist, but, and this chick is like the female equivalent of Kanye West. He's the guy. He's a total douchebag. And these two people are probably my least favorite people in the world. Just from what I've seen, I just do not like them. I don't like Kanye West. I think he's void of talent. I don't see any talent in him. In fact, he's just an irritating prick, in my opinion. And apparently he had some fashion show in the past week or two. And it was outdoors. I don't remember where it was. But it was supposedly a huge failure. I guess a couple of the chicks were sweating. Their makeup was running. The people had to wait for hours, the people watching the show, and they were hot and sweaty and miserable, and the waitresses, models, isn't the same thing? No, it's not. I'm joking. Some of the models, I guess their heels broke, or one of the models, her heel broke, and it was just a miserable fashion show. But I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, more power to him for trying to start a fashion line, but I don't see him having talent in any area. It's just my opinion. And so whatever. But anyway, Lena Dunham. Now, this is a chick who has falsely accused a man of rape, who has bragged about masturbating next to her preteen sister while she was asleep. And also, if you remember, this is when I first learned of her. She bitched about her Twitter haters and swore she would never go on Twitter again when she wore like a little sports outfit. She, you know, like the kind of bra and bikini bottoms. And then she bitched when people called her fat. But she's a fat tub of shit and she's ugly. Most guys are going to go, ugh, no thank you, I'll pass. You know, I mean, and I listen, there are people who are overweight who carry themselves in a certain manner. And listen, I'm overweight. I mean, you know, it's like I wish I was in the shape I was 20 years ago. I'm not. And, you know, I'm overweight. But a lot of people are overweight. Most people are carrying a few extra pounds. Okay? She's not carrying a few extra pounds. She's carrying a set of roles. Okay? She has no business. You're not going to see me in a Speedo. Ever. Unless I got myself into fantastic condition and I had an 8-pack. Then maybe you would see me in a Speedo. And even then, you'd probably see me in some board shorts or something like that. But, you know, she went on Twitter and complained when people said to her, hey, you are fat. You are not attractive. Okay, so, you know, whatever. Oh, that's in the past, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Is she still on Twitter? I'm going to look here. But now she's talking. What is the guy's name? He's a football player. Let me see here. Odell Beckham. Is that it? Odell Beckham? Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. Okay. What was I just asking here? Twitter. Twitter, Lena Dunham. I'm going to have to see if she's still on here. Because she said, I'll never be on here again. Let's see if she is. Lena Dunham. What comes up? Oh, yeah. Oh, she's a hermit about town. That's what she says. Honey, you should be a hermit. Oh, and on her site it says Lenny instead of Lena. I guess that's her nickname. Oh, well, she's back on. She's back on, but I don't see that she's... I don't see that she is in a bikini, though. So maybe she wised up. That would be fantastic because it was pretty sickening what she looked like. Now, what happened was she went to something, I guess it was like called the Met Ball. And this guy, this football player, who I've never heard of, honestly, and I don't follow football very much. His name was Odell Beckham. He was sitting next to her. And now here's what happened. Okay, I'm going to read this. Amy Schumer was also there, who, you know, she's funny, but I don't know, she gets on my nerves. I left so early. When did you leave? Lena Dunham responds and says, I attempted to grind my ass on Michael B. Jordan for an additional 20 minutes and then left right after you. Now, first of all, this is a chick who supposedly has a boyfriend. And she's talking about grinding her ass on Michael B. Jordan for an additional 20 minutes. See, if I don't know, if it was my girlfriend, I would say, okay, honey, you know what? Bye-bye. Adios. If it was my wife, she'd be gone. It'd be simple as that. You just don't act that way as a woman or a man. You don't need to talk like that. You know, you could say, wow, you know, I was fortunate to sit next to Michael B. Jordan, a very good-looking man. You know, something like that. Okay, at least it has a little bit of class to it, but she didn't say that. I was sitting next to Odell Beckham Jr., and it was so amazing because it was like he looked at me and he determined I was not the shape of a woman by his standards. He was like, that's a marshmallow, that's a child, that's a dog. It wasn't mean. He just seemed confused. The vibe was very much like, do I want to fuck it? Is it wearing a, yep, it's wearing a tuxedo. So apparently she was wearing a tuxedo. I'm going back to my cell phone. It was like we were forced to be together, and he literally was scrolling Instagram rather than having to look at a woman in a bow tie. I was like, this should be called the Metropolitan Museum of Getting Rejected by Athletes. And then Amy Schumer said, you were dressed as a boy, and you looked sexy, and I really appreciated you showing me your tits several times. Well, first of all, you know, whatever, you know, it's like the Amy Schumer was trying to pacify her, it seems to me. Because somehow I think, you know, listen, if Amy Schumer finds her that sexy, then why isn't she getting with her? You know, I mean, like, really, you were dressed like a boy and you looked sexy. Ugh. It's disgusting, really. It's just disgusting, their mentality. And you see, what gets me is yet they want this equality. And they don't want to be treated like women. They don't want to be objectified. And yet they're objectifying men and it's okay, which is complete bullshit. Horse shit. Sorry, Mom. But this lady bugs me and bugs me quite a bit because it shows that the mentality of some women has definitely changed. And note, I hesitate to say all women because I understand there are a lot of women who are much smarter than this Lena Dunham. You know, like I said, first of all, she's supposed to have a boyfriend. If I was a boyfriend, I'd be like, bitch, get the fuck out of here. I don't need to be with nobody like you. Go get with the guy, you know. Now, this guy Odell Beckham, to his credit, he just said something like, I don't want any problems with anybody. I don't even know what was said. I don't know what's going on. He didn't even know. Now, here she is. He didn't even say anything to her. He's busy on his Instagram doing what people do now, which is they got their nose in their phone and they don't pay attention to others. So her little insecurity of, oh, he's not paying attention to me. It must be because I'm a fat, ugly pig. Yeah, well, you know what? If the truth hurts, baby, if you don't like it, go get some liposuction, fucking lose some weight, and stop fucking bitching. And even then, the guy might not go after you. You know, because he's used to getting hotties. If he's a football player of any stature, he's getting some hot-looking women. He's getting the women that he wants. He's not like looking at you going, ooh, maybe I can get some of that. He don't care about you, honey. They're coming to him. So, you know, where's she coming off with this bullshit. And here's the thing, too. She's not attractive to most men. The vast majority of men, at least the men I know, they're going to look at her and go, ugh, fuck, no. She's a skank. But what she fails to realize is that if she told to herself the truth and said, I am fat, I am this kind of a woman, and she just said, fuck it, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get guys that I want, and I'm going to have a good attitude about it. And there are plenty of women who are overweight in Hollywood and out of Hollywood, and you know, who they have a way about them that is extremely attractive to men. Now, I have to say, I went to Colombia quite a few years ago, 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, something like that. And I was in shock because all of the women that I was anywhere near, and the only thing I really did was I was at this convention, I think it was the WBC convention, the World Boxing Council convention. And I went out a couple of times, but I just went to like a mall. I went to this chicken shop, this famous place. A bunch of the guys went there. And then I went to, what was that place? It was a coffee shop. Actually, I bought my wife a jacket from the coffee shop. But there was a lot of women there. And some of them were, you know, the stereotypical lean, mean, just super hot Colombian chicks, and some of them were plump or hefty. They were heavy set. But even the ones that were plump and heavy set carried themselves with a certain grace and dressed in a certain way that I thought to myself, wow, she's a nice looking woman. I just thought, I didn't think, oh God, what a fat pig. When I see Lena Dunham, I say, oh my God, this chick is nasty. And she doesn't, what it is I think the vibe that she gives off, now I could be completely wrong about this, but I don't think so. The vibe that she gives off is that she hates herself. She hates what she is. And so people don't find her attractive. And, you know, she's going to always have people like Amy Schumer kissing her ass, saying, oh, honey, because, you know, this is what women do. They're going to bond together and go, oh, well, don't worry about it. You know how men are. They're fucking dicks. Well, sometimes men are dicks, but sometimes women are, you know, they're cunts. Sorry. And, you know, I remember when I would never dare say that word. I remember a girl who I called her a bitch, and she got so upset she was going to break up with me, and I got really upset. I was like, oh, my God, why did I say that? Oh, my God, how could I do that? And I think it was my mother who said, you know, don't worry about it, you know. Don't sweat it, you know. And I should not have sweated it, and I learned from that situation that this was probably 25 years ago, 26 years ago. I learned that. Yeah, that was true. There was absolutely no... She was being a bitch. And so, you know, listen, if the shoe fits, honey, wear it. If you're a fat, ugly cow who carries yourself like you hate yourself, then what do you expect people to say? If you are a fat pig who doesn't have at least a somewhat shapely, attractive body, and you put yourself in overly tight clothing that shows all your roles, the only people who are going to think you are attractive are the chubby chasers. But don't get upset about it. You did it to yourself. And the sooner some cunt like this figures that out, the sooner she'll get her own shit together. You know, I mean, listen, it's okay if you're overweight. I don't think nobody should be shamed for it. I mean, listen, there are people who are so skinny, it's disgusting. There are people who are extremely fat, and it's disgusting. But you know what? They live their own life. It's, you know, they have to deal with it themselves. So, you know, if you don't want to be bashed for being fat, then don't go and wear, you know, you're going to be bashed probably no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're in peak condition, if you're not. I saw just the other day where Miss Michigan or something like that, she's going to compete for the Miss America. I think she's got Chinese blood in her or something. And all these Chinese are going, oh my God, you picked the ugly girl. She's so ugly. They're calling her ugly for no other reason than they don't think that she's attractive. Now, she won the pageant, and people were calling her ugly, and she just went, yeah, whatever. She didn't care. She didn't give it. She did not give the power to those people to affect her by what they said. And what really gets me is when I was a little kid, I was raised with that old mantra, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Wow. Nowadays, you can't say a damn thing, because if you hurt somebody with those words, you might actually go to jail or get sued for everything that you have. And I find that abhorrent. It's disgusting that, you know, you say something and it's like, listen, nobody says that you need to go out and, you know, every person you see, you go, hey, you're fat. You're fat. You're ugly. Yeah, you don't need to do that. Or you're so skinny, you look like a toothpick. You know, I mean, why don't you worry about your fucking self? That's all you got to do. Worry about yourself. Don't worry about other people. You know, that's what gets me. The guy who said to me the other day, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, why is it you're always talking about what the men want and then you never talk about what the Thai girls want? Because I don't give a fuck. Okay? First of all, I'm married. I don't give a fuck what some Thai girl wants. I care what my wife wants because she's my life partner. Okay? She's my partner for life. You know, if we have anything to do with it. But when it comes to some slut that some guy has, you know, been dating for a week, or he met her online and he came and he spent 3 days with her, and he's talking about, oh yeah, you know, I wanted to be considerate of her, and you know, she's asking me for money, and I wanted to be, you know, taken into consideration. Maybe she really needed it. And oh my God, it's like, shut the fuck up, fucking idiot. Wake up, smell the fucking roses, grow some balls, and be a man. Don't worry about what people say. And, you know, that brings me to the final statement of the day, you know, as to whether or not it's okay to defend yourself and to kill someone, even though you might end up in jail. Well, you know, it's like, what is it? It's better to be carried by 6 than tried by 12. So, you know, it's better to stand up for yourself and do what you believe in, as long as you got a halfway sane mind between your ears, than to worry about what other people are thinking all the time. And I think that's what the world has kind of digressed into, is a world in which everybody's worried about what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is going to say about what they said. And frankly, I don't give a fuck. You don't like what I say? I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I don't go out of my way to offend anybody. I feel the way I do about Lena Dunham because I feel the way I do. And I have no reservations about saying it. I would say it to her face. I don't have a problem with it. So, you know, it's if that's where I think having some balls, having the balls to stand up for yourself in the line of fire is what you need to remember to do. You know, when the heat gets turned up, you got to try to remain cool. You know, cool under the line of fire, when you're in the line of fire. You have to try to remain cool. And remember, hey, you know what? I'm not going to waver on this because it's not what I believe in. You know, I mean, it's a different story. If you're, it's self-preservation and maybe, you know that you don't have any options. Maybe that's a different story. I don't know. I think it really depends on the situation. But when we're talking about something like this, it's like, oh, my God. And, you know, I really love the fact that this guy, Odell Beckham, the football player, he did not get dragged into it. He refused to be dragged into it. He didn't even give her, really didn't give her the time of day. He basically just said, I don't want anybody being angry at me, and I just don't really want to fight with anybody, you know, which is great. I love that. I don't want to either. I mean, I just like being able to say what I want to say. And if you don't like it, well, we can have a discussion about it. And if I don't agree with you, then we just disagree. That's all. It's just the way it works. That's what civilized is being. It doesn't mean that, well, you don't believe in my religion, I don't believe in your religion, now let's just kill each other. That's just fucking stupidity. That's caveman shit. Now, if you want to be like that, that's one thing. Then guess what? You got to be caveman back. And that's what happens sometimes. But anyway, that's all I got for now. Now, hey, guys, don't forget, listen, if you like this podcast and you want me to continue doing it, maybe throw me a little donation through PayPal. There's a button on my website. You should be able to find it. Right on the front page of my site now, which I've changed around quite a bit, you can make a little donation just through PayPal, a little one-time thing. There's a page. I think I put the link to a page. It's like paypal.me/ScottMallon. And you can go to that page and you just enter how you can put $1.79 if you want. Doesn't really matter. And then there's also my Patreon page, which is Patreon, patreon.com/ScottMallon. There's also my book, theycallmeferrang.com. And hey, you know what? If you want something to go in your house, like a photo, a print, a high-quality print, you know, fine art print, go to my website. I'm sure you can find something. While they ain't cheap, if you want something for your house and you want something quality, they are high quality. They are extremely well done. And that's at scottmallon.net. Check them out. If you want me to shoot something, you know I'm going somewhere and you want me to shoot something for you specific, maybe I will do that. It just depends on what the deal is. It really depends on what my schedule is, what time I have, how much time I have, and like I said, what the deal is. And what else? I guess that's it. I'll be back next week, so tune in. And what am I planning on talking about next week? Traveling, and how come it's not as much fun as it used to be? There's one other subject I want to keep that a secret. And then we'll talk about the Thai healthcare system also. So, until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok D, La Jerk and Mai.